Notre Dame, with a historic tradition of excellence, welcomes you to the Jack Swarbrick Show, where we pursue all things Notre Dame athletics.
The Jack Swarbrick Show is brought to you by
Team Notre Dame Partner Spirit, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Now, the host of the Jack Swarbrick Show, Jack Nolan, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the Jack Swarbrick Show. Jack is out of town this week, spending time in New York for a speaking engagement and to attend the National Football Foundation and Hall of Fame induction dinner at the Waldorf, where former Notre Dame receiver Tom Gatewood was inducted into the Hall of Fame. So I'm going to slide into Jack's chair this week alongside Notre Dame captain, the Fiesta Bowl-bound Joe Schmidt. Delighted to be here, Joe.
Hey, welcome, man. This is
it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. You got rid of Jack, got another Jack in, and we're changing the graphic as we speak, actually.
We're going to change the graphic?
Yeah.
We always joke around here that Jack Swarbrick is capital Jack. I'm little J.
Hey.
I'm lowercase J.
Hey, it's
I'm
okay.
You want to know who the guests are?
Tell me.
The guests, somebody you know, Isaac Rochelle, will be here.
Oh, wow. Isaac, I'm excited.
So you play behind him, so you don't have all the secrets.
Yeah, no, I think there's some secrets I do have about Isaac, so we'll see how that goes.
And a guy you know a little bit, Steve Vastoria, yeah, from Notre Dame men's basketball.
Can't wait.
So this should be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show.
Right now, I got to ask you, you've been a big hit on this show. When they first approached you about hosting a show with Jack Swarbrick, what was your initial reaction?
Well, I was approached during football camp, actually, at Culver, and our SID, Mike Birch, came up to me, said, hey, Jack wants to know if you want to do, you know, maybe want to do a radio show with him. He's been doing it for, you know, some time before this. And I didn't, at the time, I was pretty tired, and I was like, I don't know, man, we'll see how much work it is, whatever. And so I ended up coming and meeting with Jack, one thing led to another, and I was really fired up about it. So it was a good time. I'm glad I decided to do it.
Now, obviously, at this point, and even at that point in your college career, you'd been interviewed hundreds of times, but had you ever been on a show? Had you ever done broadcasting like this?
No, this is actually my first experience doing anything of this nature. I was able to do some post game stuff with Jack Collinsworth last year that we'd have some fun, you know, breaking down a game immediately after it happened on the way over to you know, see my parents. But other than that, that was pretty much the only on camera stuff I had ever done. So this is all new to me. So I'm glad I've got an Emmy award winning man sitting next to me today.
You're very inquisitive, and that helps in this. You're a good interviewer. Where did that come from? Have you always been somebody who asked a lot of questions?
I think so. I think when I was a boy, you know, I was always quizzing my mom on something. I think I'm just interested in how people get to where they want to go. You know, the way things work, whatever that might be. I'm always trying to learn something, and so I think maybe that was my mom growing up. You know, kind of quizzing me on stuff in the back of the car to get me to stop talking, and I kind of learned how to do it from her. But I think it's just kind of been something I've always done.
You know, it's a lot like playing sports. The first time we had you do the show, kind of like the first time maybe you got the starting linebacker slot and people are all, hey, you can do it, Joe. And the coaches are like, oh, I guess he can do it. That's the same reaction we had after the show. We're going to have a student athlete. It's an hour.
It's
Is it going to work? That's a long time. And then at the end of the show, we all went, oh, he's got this.
So you had no faith in me. You had no faith.
No, it's not as easy as it looks necessarily, especially if you haven't done it. And from what I'm saying is from the very first show, it was like you were an old pro at it. How did you feel going in? Were you nervous? What was the most difficult thing, if anything, about hosting an hour radio show?
I think that the stuff that you don't think about when you go on to something like this, you know, and you're the guy asking the questions, is that there's a lot of research you have to do before. You have to understand who's coming on your show, you know, things about them, maybe some stories, talk to some of their friends. You want to make sure you're completely up to date on what they've been doing. So, you know, whether that's Steve or Isaac, you want to know how they did in their last game, you know, the last 10 games, you know, understand their team. The good part for me was that I had Jack, who's, you know, perhaps the, you know, most smooth person on these. You know, he's always got the next question ready. He's always, you know, able to get us in and out of segments. So there are a lot of things that go into, you know, producing a show like this. Obviously, there's a lot of great people around here that help you, you know, get ready for something, including yourself. And I think that you don't understand when you're off camera how much there is going on behind the scenes.
You, of course, know who your biggest fan is.
I ran
into your mom.
Oh, yeah. She definitely is my biggest
Not
fan.
Only does she love what you do on the show, this is what she wants you to do for a living.
She does.
Yes. But I know you have a slightly different idea.
Hey, we'll see. I'm trying to stay open as open as I can. I never even, you know, really thought about this until this year. So it's been a blast being on the show and hanging out with you, Jack, and Jack Swarbrick and everybody else in here. And, you know, this is really a great office, and I love what they do in here. So,
you know, over the years, you and I do run into each other and chat off the air on occasion. I do know that you're kind of leaning in the direction of what one of really the volunteer assistants does now. I mean, it's unbelievable that Pat Eilers is a volunteer assistant. He's big time in the world of venture capital and equity. And I know you're kind of being drawn in that direction.
Yeah, so I've actually had, for the last year, I've been interning in the Notre Dame Investment Office where they manage our endowment. That was another thing, kind of like you know, the media stuff that I'm doing now, is that I wasn't finance undergrad, I was a management undergrad. And really, I'd never really had that kind of exposure to that side of business. My dad actually, you know, recently took a different job, and he got exposed to it, and then I went over there. And I think it's something that's really intrigued me. And obviously, Coach Eilers is a great resource, and he's kind of helped me steer me a little bit. But I think that, you know, I think the most important thing is right now is trying to stay open and really enjoy this last month that I have here as a Notre Dame football player. Get ready for the Fiesta Bowl and then let all those choices come into play.
Well, don't worry. I did you a solid. I told your mom that probably the direction to go would be to follow Eilers, because if you want to make, like, real money, that's the way to go.
I don't know.
But do this on the side. That's what a lot of people do. They make their real money in equity and things that generate capital, and then they do this as a sidelight on weekends and have a good time.
Hey, I don't know, man. You're wearing some nice Under Armour threads today. You got the nice sweater vest on. You got khakis. I don't know. It seems like you're living pretty nice over here.
I actually paid for this. I got the 50% discount, but paid for this, which is going to stun some of the people who know me. All right. Enough about you to a degree, but this also involves you. The Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
I know the goal was to be in the top four, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Fiesta Bowl, I think, it's one of the premier matchups. It's a game that everyone's talking about right now. I don't want to discount a BCS bowl game and how difficult it is to achieve, achieve a season where you have an opportunity to go and play in a BCS game. We had a mission we wanted to accomplish. We wanted to get to the playoff. We weren't able to. This is the next best thing. We can't wait to get down there. We're so fired up, and really we're fired up about playing Ohio State. They're one of the most talented teams in the country. You know, some mock drafts have them upwards of 10 guys going in the first 10 or two rounds. It's going to be a great test for us, and we can't wait. So we're fired up to get back out on the field tomorrow, start playing, running around and hitting people again. But it's going to be a great time.
And you guys are pulling your weight in this, too. This matchup has more NFL prospects than any of the other bowl game matchups.
Yeah, and really, I think that's why people are so excited about this game, is that, you know, it's the last time they're going to be seeing, you know, a lot of these draft-bound prospects playing college football. So I think that – and then the other thing that's really great is, you know, growing up, I had my next-door neighbor was an Ohio State grad, Ohio State fan, great guy, but just rabidly involved with Ohio State football. And so I think that, you know, having that fan base combined with obviously our extremely strong fan base, it just makes for a great environment, a great atmosphere down in Phoenix. So I can't wait to get down there.
All right, we're going to have another show before we take a little break over Christmas to really break the game down. So I want to look back on this week a little bit. How pumped were you when you found your middle linebacker running mate Jalen Smith won the Butkus Award?
I know, the Butkus Award, and really it's been so cool to watch Jalen evolve into who he is today. He really has. He's come so far as a football player. You know, I always say when he got here, he was just a freak athlete who you put out in space and just let him kind of do his thing. And he didn't really know what was going on. He'll tell you he didn't know what was going on. And then you see him go to the next year. He moves inside. There's a lot more nuance to what he's doing as a football player. And then you see how he's adjusted to that first year, but you know, but he really wasn't comfortable there. And a lot of what I was doing was trying to get him comfortable. And then this year it's like the gloves are off. He knows exactly what's going on all the time. He's one of the smartest guys on the football field. He understands what an offense is going to try to do to attack the defense that we're in, or attack him, per se, because he is so good that that offenses are trying to get him out of the play. And really he's been exceptionally productive when, opposing teams know that he's one of the most productive guys on our side of the ball. So what he's done has been incredible. And it's so fun to play next to a guy like Jalen Smith. It's really an amazing opportunity.
Now, did you know he won the high school Butkus Award as well?
I did know that. Yeah, I did know that. I remember when he came in as a freshman, I think the first week he was here, I remember having a few conversations with Dan Fox about that, like, wow, this guy should seriously be in the NFL already. And then we learned he won the high school Buckus. We're like, yeah, this is starting to make more sense as we go along.
You know, there's only two players in history who have won both the high school and the college Butkus Awards. Do you know who the other one was?
I'm gonna throw a stab out here. I'm going to guess Manti.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you not know that?
No, I didn't. It did seem like it would play.
Yeah, right here. Absolutely. And Notre Dame's, I think, the only school that has that. Well, obviously, because they're the only two who have ever done it.
There you go.
The award starting in 1985. Another one of your colleagues won an award. Ronnie Stanley won the 2015 Polynesian College Football Player of the Year Award. And this is actually a big-time award. He beat out DeForest Buckner of Oregon, Soy Cravens of USC,
wow,
Kaimi Fairbairn of UCLA, and Juju Smith-Schuster of USC. So he beat out, quote-unquote, and I know linemen hate this, yeah, and they really should, skill position players.
I know, really, and that's amazing to me because, you know, I think Ronnie is completely deserving of this award. He's one of the best tackles in the country, and he's incredibly hard to go against each and every day. But – you know, I think that, you know, a lot of the times these awards are going to people that, you know, produce the big play, mm-hmm, produce the stat line. You know, whether that's, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster at USC, you know, constantly making big plays with this, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, or Sua Cravens creating touchdowns on defense or turnovers. I think that it's amazing to see, and you know how good Ronnie really is, to see him win that award, and really hats off to Ronnie, and it's a great accomplishment.
Well, I always have stats, even for offensive linemen. Ronnie finished with a 97.3 pass block success rate, and the Notre Dame offense also averaged a modern school record 5.76 rushing yards per carry. That's pretty good.
I was going to say, so those stats for our offensive line are really interesting, and it's one of the reasons they're up for the Joe Moore,
yes,
offensive line
unit.
As a unit. And I think that, you know, it's the inaugural year of this award, and I can't think, I'm gonna plug our offensive line. I can't think of a better offensive line in the country. I mean, we've played against some of the best, and really I think that our offensive line is right there. And I give our offensive line the nod each and every time. And you could say that, you know, Ronnie's obviously on the left side, the left tackle position, one of the most challenging ones. But we have so many other guys that play consistent, high quality football. And if you look at, you know, Nick Martin, you know, Q, Alex Bars when he started, you know, Steve Elmer, down to Mike McGlinchey, all of their ratings are high. Coach Heaston does such a great job of getting them to play together, care about each other. I love our offensive line.
I also know you love your defensive line.
I do.
And we're going to get a chance to talk with one of the anchors of the defensive line, Isaac Rochelle, right after this timeout on the Jack Swarbrick Show.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app, available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
The Fighting Irish play here. 89 WLS.
Our first guest this week is a junior defensive lineman on the Notre Dame football team, who Coach Kelly began referring to as a beast way back in training camp. Isaac Rochelle lived up to that moniker this season, leading all Irish defensive linemen in tackles with 58, including 7.5 tackles for loss, a sack, and 2 pass breakups. Most recently, against Stanford, Rochelle was part of a defensive effort, as was Joe, that held Heisman Trophy finalist Christian McCaffrey to just 94 rushing yards on 30 carries, also contributing 3 tackles and 0.5 tackle for loss to the cause. In the classroom, Isaac is majoring in political science And that has to be a fascinating, this has to be a fascinating time to be studying that particular topic. So, Isaac, as we welcome you to the show, busy weekend, practice is resuming. You also have to get ready for finals to begin. And you've got to be excited. I know the goal, as Joe and I talked in the last segment, was to be in the Final Four. But getting into the Fiesta Bowl, getting to play Ohio State, that's got to be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't get into the playoffs, it's good to be in a game like we're in. And I don't know. I think I'm just excited to play the defending national champs and get a chance to kind of beat them. I don't know.
just show how much of a beast you are, huh?
Yeah, like, I know. Just live up to Coach Kelly's.
Live up to the beast.
All right, we lingo. Heard that because I think, if I remember correctly, I asked you about that in training camp as well. But when you heard that, did you take that as a compliment? Did you go, oh, man, why'd you put that on me? I mean, what did that mean to you when you got singled out by the head coach early in a media session?
I didn't think that much about it. I mean, it's cool. It's tight. I was excited about it. I didn't think that much about it, though.
Hey, man, I mean, it's funny because, you know, really, you know, people at home might see the Isaac Rochelle that they think is, oh, he's a beast. He's a powerful guy, an explosive guy. And yeah, that's what you are on Saturdays. But as you can see right now, you know, you're really, you know, you're just one of the guys that just likes to hang out. You're more of a chill guy. Tell us about, you know, how you're able to transition from, you know, being a guy off the field that's so relaxed and poised to on the field, you can absolutely dominate a football game at the line of scrimmage in quite possibly some of the most difficult circumstances in the country.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just the idea that football is not like life. It's like I don't always have to be an aggressive person in life. It's just something we do and that we enjoy doing. And there's a heightened like sense of aggression that you have to adopt when you play the game. And I don't know. I don't like to say there's a switch because you know how coaches are. They're like, right, you can't flip a switch. But, I mean, there is kind of a switch. And you do kind of say, like, it's time for me to get after it. But, like I said, I think it's just the nature of the game. You know, you play and you get aggressive. And when you're not playing, you can't just be a football player all the time. You have to be a human being who cares about other humans. So, I don't know. You just play and get after it.
You know, I've been able to watch your transition from, you know, maybe a younger player that didn't exactly know how to we're not going to say flip the switch.
No, it's okay. But, it doesn't bother me.
But, you know, kind of turn into a different player on the football field to now, you know, being that guy that, you know, one of the leaders on the defensive line that kind of teaches the young guys like a Jerry Tillery how to become ready for a football game. Really kind of talk a little bit about that transition from, you know, when we were playing as young pups against Temple now, you know, playing in, you know, obviously a BCS game against Ohio State.
Yeah, I think it just kind of happens. I don't think it's anything in specific, but I think just as you age and you get more experience, you just become used to like being a leader and you just kind of embody the role that you should. And also you have guys like Sheldon and Romeo who do a great job of giving me really good examples. You're a good example of what we should do and how we should act. So I think it's a combination of just the natural like bringing up of a football player and then also looking at examples of great guys and great players that are great leaders.
And being here at Notre Dame, you almost have to have a switch because it's not just athletes, but all Notre Dame students are pushed to be outwardly focused and otherly focused. And you have to be able to turn off that aggression. You need to be a good football player to do those other things that people expect you to do because you're a Notre Dame football player. You're not expected to be one dimensional.
Yeah. And I also think a lot of Notre Dame students have a just competitive spirit because their whole lives have been competing for grades. And then in our case, we've been competing for grades and competing for athletics. So I think that helps, like, kind of, it's kind of a catalyst and gets you going as far as aggression goes. And, you know, you want to win games, so you're like, I have to be aggressive so I can win this game. So I think that's the biggest thing, just the competitive nature that comes with being, one, a Notre Dame student, and then, two, a Notre Dame football player.
You know, something I wanted to ask you about, we talked a little bit earlier on the show about Ronnie Stanley winning the Polynesian Player of the Year, which you're laughing, but it's a great accomplishment for Ron. You're somebody who gets to go against Ronnie each and every day. We talked about he beat out some skill position guys for the award, as in Juju Smith-Schuster. He beat out.
Wow, I didn't know he was Polynesian.
It's getting a big deal.
That's why I listed.
That's the reaction people get.
Oh, he won that.
That guy guy loves ball. Juju Smith-Schuster loves
ball. He loves it.
we have a tremendous amount of respect for Juju Smith in our room. So he beat out Juju, Sua Cravens from USC. So a lot of guys that are very talented skill position players. Can you talk a little bit about Ronnie? You know, when you get to deal with him in practice, you're playing a lot of five technique against him. You know, it's an outside pass rush on Ron. You know, really, how does that go in practice, and what makes Ronnie so good?
Yeah, I think his biggest thing that makes him – it just separates him from other players is the fact that he's this huge person, but he moves like he's like 250, 240. And, you know, Coach Van Gorder always talks about traits. Mm-hmm. And I just think he has all the traits to be – amazing offensive lineman, and I don't know, he just moves really well. He's got the best reach block I've ever won against. His pass sets, the best pass sets. I don't know, he just has the traits. There's no other way to say it. He's just a huge guy that can move really well.
The guy behind you who lines up next to him, Jalen Smith, just won the Butkus Award. What do you think about that?
It's well deserved. I mean,
it's a team award.
It's a team award. I personally like to think it's a D-line award.
It's a D-line award.
We keep, lineman off of him, but it's okay. I think they should have given us little mini butt kiss awards.
I totally concur. I think the
I told the butt kiss guy. Like, I was like,
so you guys are going to be watching. When he gets the award, you're going to be wondering what he says. He better say it's a team award.
I'm going to give him a speech. Thank you, Isaac.
Jalen, I'm going to need
Thank
you to reference no. Isaac Rochelle for eating double teams.
Yes. But I'm not going to take anything away from him. He's an absolute freak. And I don't think I've ever seen a player do the things that he does. Watching film, it's just like – you don't even know he does it in the game, too. You just look up. He's got 15 tackles. You're like, where those even come from? And then you watch film, and he's just flying around. He's just unique.
He's
a unique player. He is. No, he really is, though. We kind of make fun of it. But he's, like, actually really good, and it's cool to be able to play with him.
It really is. It's almost funny at times. Jalen will just fly by me and just absolutely swallow a running back. And
fly
it's
by
like,
everybody.
I know. It's ridiculous to see. Talk a little bit about, you know, we've had a couple of the defensive linemen on referencing Coach, you know, Keith Gilmore. But
Coach Gil.
Coach Gil, I know. And we got to talk a little bit about how he's, you know, helped this room transition along with yourself, Romeo, Sheldon. Just talk a little bit about, you know, our first year deal.
I just think he's a good guy. And I think we're comfortable with him. And I think that like adds a lot, and it helps the development process. He also has great D-line drills. I think he's a great coach. But more than anything, I think he's just a trustworthy guy. I just like him. He's funny. And, like, I don't know. And I just like what he does. I feel like it's easier to just follow him when you know, like, I really like this guy. And he's calm. He's calm-natured, which helps a lot, too.
So you know that he and Coach Van Gorder and Coach Longo all played college football together.
I think
do you see any of that teammate bonding among those three?
No, but I did ask Coach Gilmore. I was like, what was Coach Van Gorder like as a player? And he just said he was crazy. Like, they just had to tell him, calm down, Brian. But I don't know. He's just chill. But you don't really see it that much. Here's the thing. Probably when we're gone, you probably see it more. But when we're there, I think they're low-key about it.
Do you think – so I think that it's funny. Coach Gilmore is obviously one of the most quotable people on the staff.
Easy.
And I think we have a lot of fun, you know, with that. But if you were in a rank, you know, the top – maybe let's just go top three most quotable guys on the coaching staff. And we'll say just for entertainment value, where are we putting Coach Gilmore and who are the guys that are up there?
I think it's definitely all Wayne State guys.
It's all Wayne State guys. With those three guys.
It's Longo in no order. Longo easily, Gilmore easily, and Van Gorder easily.
I mean, just –
they're so quotable.
Oh, my gosh.
So quotable.
All right, what's one of your favorite quotes from any of those three?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's just so much. It's all so good. I don't think we really quote Van Gorder as much as we just do the Van Gorder voice.
I was going to say, you've done it three times.
Yeah, just sitting here, you just do it. Because when you get around football players, you're like, they know. They get the joke, and then you just start doing it.
I know.
I don't know. I just think it's Van Gorder voice is probably people's favorite.
Oh, yeah. Everybody
does it.
I completely agree with you. The another guy on the defensive line who's had a tremendous year, Sheldon Day. You know, he's been up. He's won a couple of All-American selections here. About to head into his last football game as a Notre Dame player. Talk a little bit about Sheldon, his leadership, and how he's been able to be productive this year on the defensive line.
Yeah. Well, first off, I think he's similar to Jalen and Ronnie, his traits. He's just got great traits. He's got great quickness off the ball. And that's a big thing in college football that D-linemen don't realize. Like, if you come off the ball.
Get vertical.
Get vertical. You're going to be dominant. And he does that. And he just uses everything to his advantage. And from a leadership perspective, he's a guy that we can trust. I think I can talk to Sheldon about anything. And that just compels me to follow him because I just trust him, so I follow him.
Is that something you're going to try to, you know, kind of emulate now in your final season as a Notre Dame player?
Yeah, I definitely want to be a trustworthy guy and a guy that people feel like they can come talk to me about stuff, not necessarily just about football, but just in general.
I don't want to get you in any trouble here, but you studied political science in one of the wackiest political
it's
times.
It's definitely weird. It's definitely weird.
What do you guys talk about in your political science classes right now in terms of what's going on today in presidential politics, for example?
Yeah, it's not as much presidential politics right now. It's a lot about current events. So, like, a lot of the stuff we've been talking about has been, like, the shootings and stuff. But not as much presidential talk.
Really?
I think teachers try to stay away from it.
You haven't talked about Donald Trump.
We have.
I was going to say.
Okay, I am taking an American politics class, but she's super anti. So she doesn't really like.
Anti-Trump or anti-American
anti-Trump.
Anti-Trump. She's an American politics.
But, like, they don't like giving their personal opinion. Therefore, they don't talk about it that much. So, I don't know. It's
part
more
of me
about
almost
the
like that, because usually on college campuses, professors aren't worried about giving their personal opinion. But one thing that Trump has done, without saying whether you like him or not, is he's changed the rules. Nobody knows how
he's
to react to him.
He's completely changed the rules.
Because he doesn't do anything that traditional candidates have done.
Yeah, right. It's pretty unconventional, but whatever. What do they say? To each his own?
Hey, look at you, man. I don't know the quote, whatever. You're philosophizing on our show.
But, like, if that's what he's going to do, that's what he's going to do.
Isaac Rochelle, just perhaps the most chill defensive lineman to ever play the game. I'm so happy that you're on the show. Thanks so much
happy
for coming.
Happy to be here.
And I'll see you this afternoon, man.
You won't. We're off today.
Oh, that's right.
So I hope I don't see you.
You don't want to hang out with me outside of the Goop?
I don't know.
All right, whatever, Goop.
We'll be back to talk with Steve Astoria right after this timeout.
Johnny B is here. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Chicago's talk leader, 89 WLS.
Our second guest has been described by his head coach, Mike Bray, as the lowest maintenance player he has ever had. Junior Steve Astoria has developed into possibly the most consistent player the Irish men's basketball team puts on the floor each night. He has started the last 58 games of his Notre Dame career dating back to his freshman season and has scored in double figures in every game this season, averaging career highs of 13.4 points and 3.4 rebounds from the shooting guard slot, where he is also taking defenders off the dribble with more regularity. On defense, Steve remains Notre Dame's defensive stopper and fireman, always ready to be switched on to whatever player in the other team has the hot hand. In the classroom, Steve is majoring in management consulting in the Mendoza College of Business and has been a participant in the Rosenthal Leadership Academy, as has Joe Schmidt. Steve, welcome to the Jack Swarbrick Show. Sorry you got the fill-in, Jack, but you do get to speak with your buddy Joe here. Hey. You guys had some interaction in the Rosenthal Leadership Academy.
Yeah, it's I'm glad Joe's here. We spent some time with that, which was a pretty cool experience. I've been back doing it this year too, so hopefully I'll see him again at a couple meetings.
Yeah, what do you think about the Rosenthal Leadership Academy? By the way, we talked a little bit on the show in previous episodes, but really, what do you think about what we're doing as a sports kind of program and getting everybody in there together, kind of talk shop on problems with the team or solutions?
Yeah, I think it's a really good thing. I haven't been able to be there as much this year, but I think it's really cool to gain perspectives from other teams and people that are in pretty much the same position as you, because we're all competing at a really high level, and if you're going through the same things as other people, and you kind of pick up little things here and there. So I think for me, especially like being my third year in it, now I'm kind of one of the older guys and can share my experiences with everybody else.
For people listening and watching today who may not know a lot about it, some might just assume it's to teach you how to be leaders, but I know it's more than that. What exactly is it about?
I think it's just kind of it's a lot about life, not just sports. They bring in great speakers. I know the last time I was there this year, we had a guy from the San Francisco Giants, and he talked to us about kind of off the field stuff like sports psychology and things like that. So you learn things about leadership, but it's mostly kind of just picking other people's brains and learning things, pretty much, for me.
I was going to say, one of my favorite things about, you know, being in the group with you last year was that I was able to kind of pick your brain, and Torres was also in our group with us, Austin Torres, about your Elite Eight run and what you guys were able to do with chemistry last year. And it was something I tried to pick Pat's brain, anybody on your team, whenever I could. It was something I thought that was great for us this season. Can you talk a little bit about, like, you know, what you guys did last year and how you're trying to carry over, you know, that chemistry into a new year with all these new faces?
Yeah, I think last year we really had a special group, and that was evident on the court. And that started with, you know, our two leaders, Pat and Jaren. They kind of just brought, you know, such a great attitude every single day. For me, like, as a young guy, and everybody else, we kind of had that to look up to. And when you show up every day and your two best players are, you know, the first people in the gym, have the best attitude and such a great work ethic, it kind of just flows to everybody else. So I think that's been the challenge for us this year, is trying to, you know, have people step up into those new positions. But I think we're really starting to finally gel together, and I think we're seeing that out on the court. So it's a fun process, but it's definitely something that you got to take day by day, practice by practice.
Your profile is raising this year, but you've always been one of the main contributors. For some reason, media and fans maybe didn't focus on you, but whenever you talk to other coaching staffs, they talked about Steve Vastoria. Why do you think it is that you've kind of melded into as a contributor but not a main focus? I mean, you were Parade All-American, Gatorade Player of the Year in Pennsylvania, and sometimes you don't get the accolades that you deserve. Does that bother you, or do you actually kind of like being under the radar?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say I'm more of a quiet kid. I've always been kind of like that. And, you know, I'm not always making the most flashy plays out there. But I think, you know, over the last year and this year, we're winning a lot of games. And I think that's the best thing you could ask for. So no matter who gets the accolades, as long as you're getting wins, I think that's what everybody wants. So I'm happy with staying under the radar if it means, you know, going back to the NCAA tournament and making another run.
Here's the deal. You say you're not always making the flashiest plays, and you're not always always in the spotlight. But you made some huge shots down the line last year. You're really getting a lot more active off the dribble. You were last year in the postseason as well. So I mean, it is kind of odd. But, you know, tell me a little bit about how you're kind of transitioning into, you know, you had, you know, Jaren, who was an incredible playmaker. You had Pat, but now you're kind of assuming one of those roles now, along with obviously some other guys. What's it like being that guy?
Yeah, it's definitely great. I think my first 2 years, I kind of try to just find my role, pick my spots here and there, and you know, be a really good role player. But this year, it's been a lot of fun having the ball in my hands a lot more. I mean, in high school, I played point guard, and I know for Demetrius, you know, it's tough for him bringing the ball up every single time and having to make decisions. So for me, it's been great to, you know, have the ball in my hands, you know, make decisions on the court and see the floor, because I'm kind of really used to that. And I'm still learning doing that, but being able to play with Demetrius has been something that's been really great for me.
From the time you started starting as a freshman, I know the coaching staff was mentioning, you know, he really has the skills to take people off the dribble. He has that quick first step. And I know the speed of the game gets slower for you with each passing year, but now you are really taking guys off the dribble. And in Illinois, there was one great drive in Illinois where you switched the ball, you drove down the middle of the lane, you threw it to your left hand, and you laid it up and in with your left hand. Have you really been working on that? Are you better at that now than before? Are you just doing it more now?
Yeah, I mean, definitely better. I think that, you know, comes with getting stronger and experience. I mean, a lot of people, you know, read the scouting reports first 2 years and, you know, I'm just labeled as a shooter. And, you know, that's great. Always trying to get better from there. But you can't be one-dimensional, especially at this level. And people will start to figure out. So I've just been trying to be more aggressive and get into the lane and create opportunities, not just for me, but, you know, everybody else on the court.
You know, I saw, you know, we mentioned in the intro that Coach Bray said that you're one of the lowest maintenance guys that he's ever had. But I know that you were a huge Allen Iverson fan growing up. So, we're talking about practice, man. So how is that kind of gelled? Why were you such a big AI fan? Is it somebody you try to play your game like?
Not as much my game. I mean, we had season tickets. We're a huge, you know, Philly sports fan of my family. And
I'm sorry.
right now it's kind of the worst thing to be. But, just, you know, growing up, my first memories of watching sports were going to the, you know, Sixers games and seeing how hard he competes. And not much his, you know, style off the court, but just – you know, going in there and working hard and competing your ass off every day is, you know, something I try to do.
You know, there's something that he holds. He holds a record with Wilt Chamberlain.
With Wilt.
Wilt the Stilt.
Junior year, state championship game, he scored 35 points, which tied the state championship scoring record again. Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, that's really pretty cool. How much play did you get at that time?
Yeah, I mean, that was a really cool thing. I mean, I remember in that game, the first half, I was probably like 0 for 8, so I wasn't having such a great game. But, yeah, Wilt's such a, I mean, huge name just in sports history. But, I mean, in Philadelphia, he's you know, quite the legend. So it was pretty cool to, you know, get that record. And we ended up winning, which was pretty awesome, too. So it's definitely a great memory for me. I know we have a couple articles up in my house, which is really special.
Something that I think is really interesting about you, and really when you ask around the team, I know we were talking a little bit before the show about this. When you ask around your team, you're loved by everybody. You're one of the most, you know, the guys on the team that everybody has something good to say about. It doesn't matter if they're guys that have graduated, they're guys that are still here, and that's something that's really unique. And I just kind of wanted you to talk a little bit about like those relationships you've been able to build at Notre Dame, and whether that's on the court with your teammates or even off the field with you know the guys in the classroom, because you know they say that you're really close with the guys in your dorm. Just talk a bit about this Notre Dame experience and how you've been able to enjoy it.
Yeah, I think coming in freshman year, I wanted to kind of get a piece of everything that Notre Dame had to offer, and I think. It's been really great because, you know, you spend so much time with your teammates during the season, off season. You're getting to know them not just on the court but off the court. You know, you spend so much time with them. But I also wanted to, you know, get the same experience, you know, in the dorm. So it's been pretty great. I live with one of your teammates, Mike McGlinchey. You know, he's a great friend of mine. Last year I lived with a couple kids I just met in the dorm. So I get to spend time, you know, get away from basketball, you know, talk about other things, you know, see what Mike's going through. But it has been really great because I think, you know, you meet people from all over the place. You look at our team and there's people from all over the country, and getting to spend time with them on the road, you know, not just playing, you get to learn things. And I think that's one thing that I've tried to do that always that I've learned from my parents is try to learn things from other people. And that's what I've been able to, you know, pick up not just from my teammates, but coaches, teachers, and just people here at Notre Dame.
Now, you're a defensive captain. So we can't let him go. Basketball, you play defense and offense.
That's true.
Literally, I mean, people know about his offensive school skills. He's known for being a three-point shooter. But they put you on whoever has the hot hand. It doesn't matter if it's a 5'8 guard or a 6'9 shooting forward.
Yeah.
What has that been like? For example, when you've got a really quick little 5'8, and if they list him at 5'8, they're probably 5'6 guy that can really go, but they say, Steve, stop him.
Yeah, I think it's just a role that I've tried to embrace over the past 2 years, especially my freshman and sophomore year. I knew I wasn't having to, you know, score, you know, 20 points a game. And to get on the floor, you got to do something to contribute to the team. And, you know, defense, I think, like everybody knows in any sport, it's a lot of heart. And I think it takes a lot of, you know, smarts, too. You got to be able to, you know, watch some film on guys and just know what they like. And for me, it's just something that I've tried to really take pride in. It's kind of just a one-on-one thing, honestly. So it's something that I really enjoy, and I'm going to try to continue to do.
So give us a little update on where we're going from here with the basketball team, what you got going on in the next couple weeks, and maybe some games you're looking forward to.
Yeah, so we got, I think, 3 games before Christmas. Our last 2 games, I think, were really starting to play well. We got a huge win on the road in a tough atmosphere at Illinois. Got a big win against a good Stony Brook team. And then we play this Sunday, I think, against Loyola Chicago. And
also a pretty good team.
Yeah, very good team. We've played some, you know, I think our schedule this year has really helped us and tested us. And then we go to Indy to play Indiana. So I think we got to finish strong right before Christmas and before we get to head out of here. But I really think we're starting to gel at the right time, and people are getting a feel for, you know, how each other play. And it's really exciting because then we head into the ACC season. And as you know, every single night's a huge challenge.
Steve, thank you very much for stopping by. One of my favorite phrases is, if Astoria for 3, got it. And I expect
got it.
Saying that a lot for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
We'll be back to wrap up the Jack Swarbrick Show right after this.
Thank you.
With exams coming up next week, it's a Sparts sports schedule on tap for this coming week. The 3rd-ranked Irish women's basketball team on the road today to take on TCU in Fort Worth. And then tomorrow, Sunday, the Notre Dame men's basketball team takes on a pretty good Loyola of Chicago team. That's at 2 p.m. at Purcell Pavilion. Now, for just about all the athletes, Next week is dominated by just studying and taking exams. But for the football team, you're going to be doing a little practicing as well.
Right, yeah. No, this next week coming up, we've got a few practices skittered here or there between the days. Coach is great about managing this time, really getting us in and out of the office, promptly and not really keeping the days too long so that we're able to take all of our tests and also study while getting ready for Ohio State. So looking forward to this next week. You know, it was great getting back on the field the last couple of days and really just moving around with the boys. So really looking forward to this next upcoming week and get ready for Ohio State, man.
Joe, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for putting up with me.
Hey, thanks. The Jacks are doing great as my co-host here.
Absolutely, and hopefully I get Jack's salary for the last hour. That'll do it for this week's edition of the Jack Swarbrick Show. We'll be back again next week.
This has been the Jack Swarbrick Show, brought to you by Team Notre Dame Partners, Sprint, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Listen this time every week for everything Notre Dame Athletics, the Jack Swarbrick Show, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89. WLS.